I'll be focusing today on coalitions and how coalitions are active kind of agents for policy change, and in particular thinking about how, as coalitions are thinking about policy change, how they can embed a pretty explicit health equity perspective within that context. No disclosures. Quick disclaimer, much of this work was funded by the CDC Community Transformation Grants. That means they supported us financially but do not necessarily agree with the things that we are talking about today. And I also want to point out that the CDC Community Transformation Grants were not the sole source of this effort. So there were a lot of diverse dollars that informed this process and helped support this process. And I'm going to go through our framework very quickly because I think sometimes we say health equity and expect a room, especially a room like this one, to understand what we mean. So I'll just give a quick definition because I've found that sometimes we don't have the same definition. And really just pointing out the fact that when we talk about health equity in this context, that we're really talking about inequities that have been driven by social injustices. They're patterned, unfair, and they're actionable. So really highlighting the unjust nature related to health inequities. So really wanting to put that on the table to make sure you all are understanding where we're coming from with this framework. And we know quite a bit from an international perspective and a national perspective that to address health inequities, we must do something about disproportionate allocations in the social determinants of health, or the social, economic, and environmental factors that shape our modifiable outcomes, right? So ranging from education, employment, income, and our built environment. So we know a whole lot that in order to do something about equity and inequity, we need to do something about the social determinants of health. And that's where I think a lot of the consensus, even though it's debatable whether or not we have consensus on the social determinants of health, maybe ends. That it's not always easy for folks to understand what they do about with that framework, right? And I know the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and our colleagues at the UW Population Health Institute are trying to do a lot of work on action related to the social determinants, and we're working with them on some of those efforts. But we have been using the Bay Area Regional Health Inequities framework to really operationalize our theory of change related to how those social determinants of health come to be, because we don't believe that they're a natural phenomena, that some communities have really nice parks and have really nice grocery stores and some communities don't. That's not actually just randomly allocated, right? That comes from somewhere. So this framework helps us talk about moving beyond the medical model and not doing away with it, right, because we need that, but really hugging the medical model with a social ecological framework, that the context of our clinical care are embedded within a broader context of our living conditions and power, institutional power, and the biases and preferences that are embedded in our culture that really shape the way decisions are made in our institutions of power. So we use this framework to talk about the social determinants of health actually being after these institutions of power, right? So there are these precursor conditions, which Dr. Kamara Phyllis-Jones talks about as the context of the social determinants of health. So there's actually things that drive and shape our social determinants, that if we're going to think about social determinants, we can't just change where we live, learn, work, and play. We have to think about how those places become that way also, those processes that drive those allocations of those living conditions, which we call the root causes in this framework. So the institutions of power and our social inequities, our biases and our preferences, such as race, around racism, classism, sexism, paternalism, sexual orientation, sexual expression, gender expression, that all of those things get embedded into our institutions of decision making and continue, right, to shape the way our living conditions look. So those are the social determinants in the middle there, here, and they're driven by our institutions and our decision making processes, which are kind of laden with power and powerlessness, which I would argue racism is a manifestation of power and powerlessness, right? So that these things all come together to create really great opportunities for us to think about how our social determinants get decided upon. And they, at Bar High, have identified in the dash boxes below strategies that we can use, and I know this is very small, but under the social determinants, they identified community capacity building, community organizing, and civic engagement alongside of policy change to really make a dent in how those things get shaped and how they get done. So moving upstream and not just focusing solely on that box of social determinants, right, because we know if we just build grocery stores and food deserts, they may not come if the community is not involved in that decision and shaping that decision. So really important to change those conditions, but also important to shape those processes that determine those decisions. And in fact, if we don't address them, we might continue, and we do continue, to reproduce inequity generation after generation. So the way that we've thought about building health equity capacity within the coalitions in Wisconsin is to have three dimensions to understand how health equity strategies can get shaped. Those are the what, right? Those social determinants. So in those boxes, we need to think about the social determinants, but also those root causes, the whom or with whom. We need to engage and build capacity, not kind of our checkbox engagement, not just getting folks to meetings, but really thinking about building capacity with communities most affected by inequity, those that are shouldering the burden of inequity. And how? We need to focus on conditions of power. We need to think about our decision-making processes and how those are key levers in determining our social determinants and a whole cascade of other policies and conditions. So another dense slide, the theory of change, right, just in little c, theory of change, why do we believe this works? We know health equity strategies, when done this way, and we're studying these as well, can have implications for individual level health. We know, right, that psychological empowerment has real implications for our own health, that when we have control over the lives and the decisions around us, that actually decreases our stress load when we know we can make changes that affect us. So at the individual level, we can see better health. At the community level, we see a sense of community, community health indicators change, and community capacity having real links to how communities respond to policies and policy change in their context. And for policy development, we know that when communities and decision makers are working together equitably, we get better policy development, right? If the folks that you want to affect through policy change are a part of creating policies, you get better developed policy and better implementation, right? That if the folks that you're trying to affect are at the table with you and your partners, then you will have better implementation because they will understand what that looks like for their communities. So a blurb that kind of came out of our trainings is, so you're saying, right, that we need to help communities, we need to evolve as a public health community from just helping communities beat bad odds to really thinking about working with communities to change those odds, right? We're not just talking about resilience, that you need to overcome these terrible conditions that we, in fact, created for our communities. We need to work with folks and change those odds because we can actually do that, that there's a lot of science and promising practices to tell us that those bad odds aren't set in stone, that we can change those odds for a lot of communities. I'm a child of political refugees. My parents escaped Vietnam in the late 80s, and the mantra of the American dream has really done a disservice for a lot of folks because we've taught people that they just need to overcome these bad things. When we know, right, that we can change these odds for all communities to have a better shot. So trying to shift our framework around how we're thinking about resilience and community capacity and where kind of assets can come from, and that can come from deep within communities. So the project that we used this framework on is our CDC Community Transformation Grant, which is, for those of you that are nodding, those dollars were used for policy systems and environmental change related to chronic disease prevention. We supported 28 local coalitions all around Wisconsin, which I would argue is the Mitten State. and specifically, we focused on tobacco exposure, active living, and food systems. For our health equity team, we know that we're one of the few places that had a team around the country to actually think about an explicit orientation around how equity is embedded in these PSE, policy and systems change contexts. Because a cross-cutting value for the CDC was we need to not make disparities worse, right? We have a lot of good science that tells us that some policies, when enacted, can actually increase disparities, right? Because when you pass a policy, those that are most able will take up the intervention, and those that are not continue to do poorly or even worse. So we know that some policy change can actually widen disparities. So we got very clear directives saying that we don't want to do that. Great. Good job for the CDC to recognize that implication. It's been an interesting one to watch. So for us as a health equity team, we wanted to measure and increase coalition health equity capacity. And again, we were working with 28 coalitions all around our state. We wanted to increase the number of strategies that they were incorporating within the context of their chronic disease prevention policy change. And we're also working on statewide alignment, and this is where some of our other funding comes in, between community organizers and public health, that we've been really intentionally building an alliance between these two fields to think about how the grass tops can meet the grass roots and connect with kind of our institutions and agencies. So we define health equity capacity on an organizational level, drawing from a term public health literacy that Darcy Friedman worked on, who's now at Case Western. But it's the public health literacy is an individual level concept of individuals understanding how to promote the public's health, making change towards the public's health. At a coalition level, we want to understand the degree to which the coalitions kind of understood, had the skills, orient themselves towards, and also took action on health equity within the context of their work. We defined it with three dimensions: conceptual foundations, collective impact and action, and also civic orientation. Under conceptual foundations, this is kind of your health equity 101. Do folks get the social determinants of health? Do folks get the implications of power in their communities and how that affects change and distribution of resources? At the collective impact and action level, can our coalitions effectively mobilize across sectors and with different partners, thinking about drawing on proponents and opponents for what is known as health promotion? So do they have a diverse alliance, and are they able to mobilize effectively towards structural change, not just getting folks together in a room for a day-long meeting, but are they doing work together? And then the civic orientation is really comes from psychological empowerment, so a lot of our community psychologists, but authentic engagement with those most affected by inequity. Are they engaging those communities in their leadership structure and building capacity alongside of a kind of what would be more traditional health promotion coalition work? And are they really confronting power in that work? We know to affect policy change, we need to deepen our analysis of our social and political context around us. So this is through our two-year process, the training that we deployed with coalitions, and then we also delivered tailored technical assistance because we know that all of our communities are different and they needed tailored approaches to really understand how they would make change in their own communities. We have very rural communities in Wisconsin, also very urban and very diverse. So we really wanted to create strategies that the communities owned and reflected what inequity meant for them. Our evaluation design was mixed methods, and we used our three dimensions to really think about analysis. And here are some of our methods. We had a survey, which was qualitative and quantitative. We had training evaluations. We had progress reporting, coalition document reviews, where we collected meeting minutes, agendas, interactions with community folks, their outreach strategies, earned media. So really tried to just get a sense of what coalitions look like and how they measured their own work. We did observations from an ethnographic approach that we sat in with communities and heard how they talked about equity and inequity and engaged with partners. And we're also, we just finished data collection on a social network analysis survey that we will be able to map kind of what the relationships between groups and individuals look like within organizations before, during, and after the project. We've seen so far from our analysis of the surveys and everything up till the social network analysis that there's increased kind of there's growth in your Health Equity 101 understanding, that more folks understand how to talk about social determinants and power and can point to strategies to get them closer to where they want to be, embracing equity within the context of their work, and more activities to really think, to move from just engagement to working with communities and building capacity. So there's a lot of efforts for our coalitions to think beyond just trying to get folks to meetings or outreach that's beyond sending out postcards, that certain communities need a different approach, and they're working through that right now. So we've seen a lot of progress in terms of coalition functioning. This is one of the tools that we developed to communicate our evaluation. We're a very action-oriented group, so to the extent that we could, we got data out to inform the strategies as they emerge with the coalitions. So spectra for each of the dimensions, and really addressing health equity in an ideal way is on the right side, which we use case studies and our existing literature to inform what that ideal would look like. And on the far left is no evidence of equity work. And we saw groups, the range of capacity grew throughout the 2 years. We observed that throughout the 2 years. Here you see those groupings again. So we group groups from 1 through 4 based on their relative capacity to each other. And we really wanted to offer them examples in Wisconsin of what they could do. Most of the ideal examples come from California or Portland or Seattle, and our groups don't love hearing about case studies from those places. So we really wanted to give them examples within Wisconsin of folks doing really great work. Here you see the groupings again, and the one you see the blue there go down over time, and we saw increased growth in our 2 groups and our 3 groups throughout the 2 years. This is a dashboard that we provided to folks. Again, wanted to offer concrete strategies, so this is our dashboard for conceptual foundations, and I'm happy to share this afterwards, but I have 2 minutes left. But a quick reflection is that in terms of our impact, we saw very clear differences within our coalitions, the way they talked, the way they wanted to interact, the level of self-reflection that they had as coalitions, understanding some of their own deficiencies and where they needed to go to find assets in their communities to really have a fuller picture of inequity. In our learning, we really piloted these measures, this organizational measure did not exist prior to this, so we were really piloting this process. We are now, we've just been working with our conversion dollars in Wisconsin, and we'll roll out this framework expanded for an obesity prevention initiative in Wisconsin. So we're really excited about really refining these measures and understanding how we can more systematically evaluate the complexity of kind of coalition level work to address inequity alongside of chronic disease. With that for our Q&A.